Today we're going to continue to listen to Luke 6, finish of the Sermon on the Mount. Also at the end of it, it talks about that those who hear the words of God and obey them are like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now this scripture also has another meaning to me because around the world we work with people who can't read. And so translators talk about how when they come, they found Bibles that have pages missing. And they say, where are the pages? And they say, well, Pastor, we can't read, so we tear a page out of the Bible every day, tear it up, put it in the soup, and we eat it. In Nigeria, I was told they buy 4 Bibles when they build a house because they've heard this scripture, and so they put a Bible in the corner when they pour the cement because they believe that if they build their house on the Word of God, it won't fall. In China, older women will wrap the Bible in cloth and sleep on it, hoping that the Bible will ward away bad dreams and also will enter their mind. But the fact is, unless the Bible enters your heart and you obey it, it has no value. So as you listen, don't just listen, but obey.
Okay, so today's Luke passage is in chapter 6, verses 27 to 49. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, for the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained and will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the man who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. All right, and then the Acts passage. Chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. But there is a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Okay, and then the devotional. This passage of teaching represents some of the most challenging words of Jesus that we have in our scriptures. The idea of loving your enemy on paper seems very Christian indeed, but putting it into practice is a whole other reality. The key to understanding this teaching is found right at the end in verse 36. Jesus tells us to be merciful to those around us because God himself has been merciful to us. Think about this for a second. In the reality of sin that we all struggle with, we are all, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 8, at enmity with God. But in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus, God's attitude towards us is one of mercy and grace, forgiveness and love. We deserve God's rejection, but instead he draws us near. In light of this incredible reality that God pours out his love towards us, the sinner, how can we not ourselves pour out love in response to those who sin against us? So enemy love is true love. To not do so would be to disregard the central way in which God loves us. Take a moment today to bring to prayer anyone you are currently in disagreement with and ask God to give you his mercy and grace, forgiveness, and love once again. And let's all say the prayer together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Father, we pray for our judicial system, for judges, solicitors, and barristers. We pray against any corrupt forces and that, Lord, you would empower them to act fairly and justly. Amen. Okay. So a few weeks ago, when I looked up what passage I was doing, my reaction was, loving your enemies, which is why we're going to look at the Acts passage this morning. No, just kidding. So like the devotion said, I think these are definitely some of the most challenging words of Jesus. And I think many of you would agree. And because of this, that's why I think it's worth wrestling with it a little bit more. So as I was preparing, you know, I went to my very deep-thinking friends, and I interviewed some of them and asked, so what makes it so hard to love your enemies? And some answers I got were, because they hurt me or others, because it's not fair, because it's painful, because they don't deserve it. And almost everyone I asked said, "Ugh, it's so hard." And, you know, in our flesh, when we're hurt, the natural reaction is to retaliate. And I think most Noah's Ark teachers will understand that, especially if you work with the younger kids. You know, a push is always met with a push, a kick is met with a kick, etc. And, you know, recently I've been sending around a video of one of our three-year-old boys. And I don't even know what they were fighting about, but he's holding a toy up, and he's standing over another, and he's screaming, "No!" And the one who's sitting there is, like, you can see his face. He's kind of taking it in. And, like, he immediately gets up, like, takes a deep breath and goes, "No!" Like, right back at the other kid. And, you know, I was wondering why I liked this video so much, because I was kind of watching it nonstop. And the reality is that every time I watch, I just think, man, it would just feel so good to be that second kid. You know, that whenever someone mistreated me, I could just take a deep breath and just roar at them like a T-Rex. And, you know, it's because when someone hurts us, you know, that pain is, it's real and it's legitimate. And you want to just punish that person with the same amount of pain because that's what they deserve. And it's difficult to forgive because that requires us to give up our right to hold, you know, what that person has done against them. And, you know, we always say this in the river, you know, that forgiveness doesn't mean that we're saying that what the person did was right or excusable, but we're making the choice to let God deal with it. You know, it's an act of mercy, and like it says in verse 36, we are called to be merciful because God is merciful. You know, but that's only step one, right? The devotion title today was not enemy forgiveness, but enemy love. And during my interviews, one person said that, you know, forgiving is one thing, and it's not as difficult because it's essentially between you and God. You know, the person who wronged you doesn't need to ask for forgiveness in order for you to forgive. And really, when you're forgiving, you're freeing yourself and letting it go to God. But love is and requires action. And we see in verse 27 what it looks like to love. It says to do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Do, bless, and pray are all action verbs. And, you know, that's just a whole other level, you know, to actively seek out and desire good for those who have wronged us. You know, a friend of mine was on outreach in the red light district, and she was telling me that when they were in, you know, one of the buildings, they saw two men, you know, on their way to do no good. But they kept falling on the stairs. And one of them fell so badly he cracked his tooth. And, you know, when she told me this story, I laughed. I laughed and I said, good. And, in fact, I was hoping there'd be more to the story, that he, like, broke other things as well. You know, and obviously that's an example of not being loving. But, you know, we are called to radically love those who don't deserve it. You know, those who, like the Bible says, who are ungrateful and the evil. And just a side note, my friend and her team were way holier than me, and they had compassion on the men, and they actually asked if they were okay and, you know, helped them out and stuff. But even hearing that, right, like that sounds crazy to do that. And, you know, it's because it is kind of crazy. You know, why are we called to love like this, and how is it even possible? And, you know, I think the devotion, you know, addressed this. It's because, you know, we ourselves are recipients of this kind of radical love. And because the ungrateful and the evil people mentioned in verse 36, you know, aren't just those men who were going to buy sex, but, you know, us as well. And that's probably the hardest truth for us to recognize. Because, I mean, if we compare ourselves to those men or you know, like serial killers or, you know, the people who bribe their way to get their kids into college, we feel like, oh, you know, I'm not that bad. But that isn't the standard, right? To a perfect, holy God, you know, it's like we're ungrateful and we're evil. And when we are able to humble ourselves enough to recognize the grace and mercy that we received of God choosing to love us, then it makes it easier for us to extend the same to others. And, you know, I don't want to make light of, you know, what anyone has gone through in their lives, but I feel like, you know, in our everyday life, most of the time, you know, our enemy is not, you know, this hateful adversary. You know, you say enemy and you think of, you know, all the Marvel stuff and, you know, superheroes and Thanos, you know, like this evil person that, or I don't even know what he is, alien, who is, you know, looking out to destroy. You know, for us, our enemies are an angry boss or an annoying colleague or, you know, a competitive friend. And, you know, I don't know if it's because I was preparing for this, but I feel like recently I had a lot of enemies, especially on public transportation. And, you know, when someone, like, pushes you or yells at you for no reason, it takes a lot to not do anything back, let alone bless them. But I found that, you know, during the times when I chose to, you know, be loving and not react and even, you know, under my breath, say a prayer of blessing for them, you know, God is really good and he gives you, you know, a heart of compassion. And, you know, especially with this kind of more petty stuff, you know that could easily be you when you're having a bad day if you're stressed at work or at home. And if anything, it forced me at least to look within, to ask myself, you know, why does such a small thing warrant such a big reaction? You know, am I so impatient that I can't let the person who's clearly in a rush go by me first? Or, you know, am I so prideful that I can't stand losing face in front of, you know, a group of strangers? And then when I see these things in myself, you know, I think then that makes it easier to then recognize once again that, you know, I too am in need of that grace that I am called to extend to others. So can I invite Janella up? So just a few things to reflect on as Jay plays for us. I mean, first, you know, let's give thanks to God for the grace and the mercy that, you know, he has showered upon us. You know, we all know our own stories. We know where we're at. We know where we came from. And, you know, the truth is that we all received an abundance of grace from God. And then let's also repent of the ways we've been ungrateful by not extending the same grace and mercy towards others. So if earlier, when we were reading through the devotion, you know, if you feel like there's, you know, an enemy, you know, whatever that means to you, that you feel you've been contending with, you know, let's first make the choice to forgive. And it might be a choice you have to make again tomorrow, but today, you know, let's take that step to choose to forgive and let God deal with that person. And let's ask God for his heart of love and compassion so that we can be active in our love by praying a prayer of blessing over them today. Praying, I just felt like for some of you, there may be a bit of fear in choosing to forgive and choosing to love. And I think and I think that fear is of like not wanting to put yourself in, the position to be hurt again. And I just feel like I want just to clarify, that this passage is about, forgiving and, loving our enemies. And, like I said, forgiveness doesn't require the wrongdoer to ask for it or anything. That's between us and God, and to not confuse that with I guess reconciliation, which does require the other party. And so don't Yeah, don't let the enemy lie and tell you that if you forgive, that, you know, you're just putting yourself in danger, or, you know, you're going to be hurt all over again, because, you know, that's not the truth. The forgiveness is for your good and to free you. Yeah, Father, we just thank you for your love for us, and we just ask for forgiveness for the times when we've taken that for granted, when when we've made light of it, when we've been ungrateful, and yeah, today we just want to just surrender to you. You know, we say that we want to be more like you. We say that we want to love like you. And so, God, we want to let go of all the things that are hindering us from doing so. And God, yeah, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we are safe with you, and that everything you call us to do is good. Yeah, so just give us the strength to extend that type of love, you know, your love to others, whether it's big or small today. We want to have grateful hearts today, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those who are battling with cancer. Just pray for his comfort and his encouragement. And just pray for the loved ones as well, as they are there, you know, battling with their loved ones. Let's pray for those who need healing, but also, more importantly, need to meet Jesus. Let's pray for those with non-cancer related infirmities. Just pray for healing. Pray for those who are looking for jobs, that God will provide the right job and in his right time. Tuesday focus, let's pray for Hong Kong, pray for the government and against the wealth gap, for revival in the churches, all our partners, Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church, let's pray for the students and teachers, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Pray for the staff, that we will love each other well and, you know, be united. Kelly just recently joined us as an intern. You can pray for her that she will adjust well and quickly. Pray for P. Sam, who's on his anniversary trip with Lisa. And you can pray some special birthday blessings over Pastor Kenny. Pray for our hospitality ministries, for welcoming and barista, and that just for wisdom for me and Andrew, that you know, this place can you know, feel like home when people come. Pray for the worship team and sound and the AV team. Yeah, that everyone on those teams, you know, will be, you know, worshipers first. Yeah, before the doing. And that, yeah, that they can really help usher in the Holy Spirit. Lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight: First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, OPR, and Soho. Yeah, that the members will, yeah, love each other well, minister to each other, and just that the Holy Spirit will be present in all of the meetings. God, just be near today. And I just bless your spirits to connect to the Holy Spirit to lead your bodies and souls today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.